certainly appreciate the prayer that has gone before. I'm certainly thankful for the words that we have heard and the good instruction. I hope to put that in place in my life as I'm going out on the road. You know, this traffic's been kind of rough this weekend for me. Some of that hit home pretty good, the way my thoughts have been at times. But people in this lane or in that lane are, you know, doing whatever they do. How quickly we can lose our joy and our peace and our rest over things that we really should not, because of who we are, what the Lord has done for us. Now, tonight, I do want to be brief, and we'll make an effort to do that, because I'm pretty weary in the flesh, and I feel like the time has been well spent. Sometimes you can, when things are going really, really well, sometimes it's just a time to stop, be still. So we're very, very thankful for what we've enjoyed tonight. I feel the Lord's been with us. I felt His presence. I felt that He's with me. And that's just a comforting place to be. Be still and know that I am the Lord. And know ye that the Lord, He's God. We're not. If He's God, we're not. So we're to trust and lean upon Him tonight. So just pray for me that for whatever time I stand before you, I'd follow Him. And we've already seen that He's able. He's able to provide for us just what we need. I want to read a familiar passage to you, I hope, found in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. But I want to read from the beginning of the book, Romans 8. A lot of times I spend a lot of time at the end of the book because it's just such a wonderful explanation and declaration of the salvation that's eternal for God's little children, and also how our timely deliverance comes from the Lord as well, that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah, the psalmist writes. And Romans 8 is all about salvation. It's about how we have it. It's about where it came from. It's about who's the author of it. It's about how secure it is. It's about what the Lord has done for His people from the very beginning down through time, and what He will do all the way to the end. It's just very, very clear, very, very plain. That is to those who have been given an eye to see it and an ear to hear it and a heart to understand it. Because it's not very plain to so many in the world. We know that because we hear so much in the world that's contrary to what is plainly, clearly taught in the book of Romans, especially in Romans chapter 8. But this verse, the first verse, is one I want to just, well, not just it, but let's just read a few verses here, and then again, I may not be before you very long. We'll follow the leadership of the Lord in regard to that. Romans 8, verse 1, says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's very clear, plain language, but how much is said in what we have in those few verses that I just read in the hearing from Romans 8. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Condemnation is what we would deserve if God poured out upon us that which we have earned by our efforts and our works and what we have done. It's the judgment of God that would come upon us because we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 lays out how far away from God we are by nature. Ephesians 1 tells us that we're dead in trespasses and in sins. We're not just a little sick in sin, but we're dead in sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. In that death is eternal separation from God. It's not just the natural death. That is part of it. When sin is finished, the Bible says, naturally speaking, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. That's why we die, naturally speaking. But there would be a judgment beyond that that would fall upon us were it not for the intervention and the work of Almighty God on our behalf in a way that we had nothing to do with. God moved in our direction and did for us that which has saved us from condemnation. Even to the point tonight, you and I can, with peace in our hearts and assurance in our hearts, we can sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, which means I'm not afraid of the condemnation that I justly deserve because someone has done something for me, and that someone is the only one that could have done it, the one who's given to us here. That's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a therefore here in this verse that takes you back to chapter 7. When you see a therefore in the scripture, it's, as one brother said, I heard a long time ago, it's there for a reason. That you should go back and look at what came before in order to see why he's saying what he said. The last statement in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans that we find is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. And he says this in verse 24. He says, "O wretched man that I am." I want you to notice he didn't say, "Oh, wretched man that I used to be." He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But from the Bible, we know that he also could have said, "Oh, wretched man that I used to be." Because when you go to the Ephesian letter and you read about what the Lord has done for us in quickening us and making us alive, that before we were made alive, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. We walked according to the course of this world, which means the way of this world. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That means we not only walked in the course of this world, but we walked in the according to the course of the prince of the power of the air. And who that's talking about is Satan and the forces of evil in this world. We were under the dominion. We were under the bondage. We were in the captivity, where we could not get ourselves out of that situation. So the Apostle Paul could have said, and did really say in times past, that he was a wretch also. But this chapter he's even writing about, not only did he used to be a wretch, but since the Lord had worked on him, he still has that which is continuing needing of work and additional grace, and that which comes from only come from God. That's kind of what Brother Jimmy was talking about, that there's an old nature in us that even though we sit in the house of God and we rejoice and we get lifted up and we get real happy in the Lord, there's still an old part of us, isn't it, that we have to battle and fight and continue to fight that fight because that part is there. The Apostle Paul said this about that. He says, "For I know that in me," this is verse 18, of the 7th chapter. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me." That's the inner man. That's the part that's been born of the Spirit. In Ephesians 2, it talks about you were born again, and that new birth took place, and there was a freedom that came in the new birth that has allowed us to be able to fight against the old man. Because we now have a new nature, we have dual nature, so to speak. We have that which is spiritual, that loves the things of God, but along with that, we have that old natural man that's still there, is like a dead carcass hanging around our neck, just rotting away, that we have to fight and continue to fight. And that will continue to be the case until the Lord comes again and fix it all up. And that is, he'll come and change if we're alive. He'll change this old vile body and make it like unto his. If we happen to die, we'll be free of it from a while, and we'll be present with the Lord when the moment we die. And when he comes again, he's going to resurrect this body, and he's going to make it and fashion it like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're alive and remain, he'll change us, and we'll be made and fashioned like unto him. And then we will be with him, body, soul, and spirit, altogether spiritual. That which is mortal will be made immortal. That which is natural will be made spiritual. So we will be body, soul, and spirit one day with God in heaven and in glory. And you know how many are going to be that way? Every one of them that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what this verse really teaches. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That means there's no eternal judgment. When we read over in Matthew chapter 25, we read a message there that the Lord himself gave about the judgment that's going to take place at the end of the world when the Lord returns. And in Matthew 25, beginning at about 31, we won't cover all of this, but we look at this tonight. It just briefly, it says from verse 31 all the way to verse 46, he lays out what's going to take place in the general judgment that's going to happen when the Lord returns. And one thing that's going to happen is condemnation is going to be given. A judgment is going to be given to those that are not in the family of God, those that are goats, those that are on the left, those when the Lord comes and divides the sheep from the goats, he's going to take the sheep and he's going to put them on his right hand, but the goats are going to be on the left. And this is what he's going to say one day to those that are on the left. Verse 41, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that's the condemnation that you and I, because of the grace of God, and because of the love of God, and because of the mercy of God, and because of the choice of God, and because of the work of God, that's the condemnation. Think about it just for a minute. You and I do not have to fear that tonight. You and I do not have to be concerned about that tonight. Not in order that we say, well, let me just go on and live any old way. But it ought to cause us to want to love him so very much. Because we have been set free from that condemnation through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to make you want to say hallelujah tonight. It ought to make you want to say praise the Lord. And if we don't get anything else tonight, that ought to make you happy. That ought to help you when that guy cuts you off on the way home as you're driving down the road. It ought to help you when someone says something unkind to you. And rather than respond with hatred in your heart, you ought to remember how the Lord loved you. And I need to remember how he loved me. And I need to respond to them the way he's responded to me. I need to remember when I reach out and hug a brother's neck, it's like hugging my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he said, in as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. Now, I know this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, not a one of us would do it. Not a one of us would want to do it. Not a one of us would have the ability to do it. Not a one of us would be free to do it. But tonight, because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, because of the love of God, because of what Jesus has done for us, you and I have the ability to walk better, act better, and talk better, and we should do that to the glory and the honor and the praise of the one we're going to be praising forever in heaven. Oh, you ought to be happy about it down here. We're going to be happy about it up there. We ought to be happy about it down here. It ought to be our joy and our rest and our peace. He said this, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And we will not hear that. You know what we'll hear? Who are you talking to? We're talking to those that he foreknew in covenant before the foundation of the world. We're talking to those that according to his own good pleasure and purpose he chose in Christ. That's how you get in Christ. You don't get in Christ by doing something. You do something because you've been placed in Christ by the power and the work of Almighty God. And that was done even before the foundation of the world. Aren't you glad? As one brother said, the election's over and the polls are closed. There's not going to be anyone added to that, nor is there going to be anyone left out. God knows his people. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And you and I cannot add to that tonight, nor can we take from it. I'm thankful for that. How about you? I'm thankful that that's the case. Notice what he will say to those on his right hand. How did they get on his right hand? Because he took them and placed them there. Because he made choice of them before the foundation of the world. The reason that we have no condemnation tonight is not because we're walking right and talking right. That's the problem that the Apostle Paul was having in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. That when he would do good, you have this problem. When I would do good, I find evil present with me. And the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the things that I would say, I want to go this way, the next thing you know, I'm going the wrong way. And sometimes you wonder, could I even be a little child of God or not, and act that way and behave that way? Listen, if you have that battle going on, there's a great evidence that you belong to Him. And you belong to Him not because you started the battle, but you have the battle because He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He worked that in your heart. And He gave you a love to love the Lord with. And He gave you a faith to believe in Him with. And He gave you the fruit of the Spirit that you can serve Him with, so that you and I don't have to live like the world and act like the world and talk like the world, but we can walk in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord even while we're living here in this world. That's why we gathered here tonight. Notice what he says to us. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. He's the one that's going to set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left, verse 33 of Matthew 25. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit. It's an inheritance. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. Come, and he says, and who are you? You're the blessed of my Father. In other words, you're blessed. You didn't do something to get blessed. You're blessed. You do something because you've been blessed. You're able to walk, as he said over here, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How is it possible for men that are dead in sin to not walk after the flesh? It's not possible. It can't be done. As a matter of fact, when the Lord looked down from heaven upon the sons of men in Psalm 14, and in Psalm 53, and in the book of Ecclesiastes, he saw there was none good. No, not one. There's not a just man upon the face of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And that's where we would be tonight, except for this. God made choice of us before the very foundation of the world. And then in time, he created us in the new and made us alive in the new birth, and gave us a will that we did not have, gave us a love that we did not have, gave us a hatred for the things of the world that we did not have. He said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creature. And all things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. That means he's been made new. And that newness gives him the ability to walk and act and talk and live in a way to honor and glorify God. Now, how did he get that? It was by grace. Now, how is he going to be able to walk like he's supposed to? By grace. And we need grace for the start, we need grace for the middle, and we need grace at the end. And here's what's wonderful. God's grace is sufficient for us. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That isn't a requirement that needs to be met to get into Christ. What it is a It's an explanation of what happens to you when you're created in Christ. When you're born again, you're given the ability to not walk after the flesh, and you're given the ability to walk in the Spirit. He gives you the ability to do it. Before that, you didn't have the ability. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am," because he recognized, listen, I'm not winning this battle on my own. Have you figured that out? I believe you have. When we try to get it, sometimes I say, I'm just going to do better. And I end up not even start doing worse. I'm just going to act better. I'm going to talk better. I'm going to put that sin away. It's not going to bother me anymore. And the next thing you know, here it is rising up again. You know how we can do it? You know how we can fight this battle? There's only one way. The same way that we got to be His in the first place. And that's by His grace. And by His grace, then, we can walk and live and act and be what we're supposed to be. But as Brother Jimmy said, we need to be praying, because we need that strength that can only come from Him. And He says that who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's talking about when the Lord's done a work of grace in your heart, you are a different person. You are a new creature. Your estate has changed. You're no longer that person you used to be. Like the wild Gadarene, who was wild and could not be tamed. When the Lord finished with him, he was clothed and he was in his right mind and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he just wanted to be close to Jesus and stay with him. Where before that time, he couldn't be tamed by anybody. Can the Lord change a life around? Can the Lord take someone who's on drugs and change their life around? Absolutely. Can the Lord take someone who's sick and make them well? Absolutely. Can the Lord take those who can't walk and give them the ability to leap for joy? Absolutely. Can the Lord heal a leper? Absolutely. Listen, it's by His stripes that we are healed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was put upon Him. And the reason you and I don't get the condemnation that's due us is because He bore that condemnation in our room instead. He took that in His own body. And not only did He take away the condemnation, but He gave us the righteousness that will fit us for heaven. And He's also supplying to me and you right now tonight just what we need for the moment and the time. I'm going to try to keep my word, Brother Donnie. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. We love you. What number? 94. Amen. God be with you till we meet again. Isn't it good to know that He just doesn't show up in this room and in this setting, but He's everywhere present and He's nowhere absent. He's promised to be with us in a very special way where two or three are gathered together in His name. But He's also with us whenever, whatever we're going through, whatever trial, whatever trouble, whatever problem we're going to face, and we're sure to face them. He's not going to leave. And may we pray what He's promised. He promised He'd be with us. May we pray that. God be with us till we meet again. And if we meet down here, that'll be good. If we meet up there, it'll even be better. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.